So the Mishnah had been talking about Kisui Hadam, right, covering the blood from Shechita. And the last line in the Mishnah had been very, vague isn't quite the word, it was an odd line. Right? We were dealing with these debates in Betel, Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai, we said, it says, Yachor Badeker B'Yachaseh. Well, I'm just reading out of the Mishnah first, but we're going to be on Chesamad Aleph. We'll be about four lines down. But the Mishnah had said that in the event that somebody shechts, and we talked about whether that means someone already shechted or he comes to ask you what to do because he wants to shecht but he doesn't have the dirt available for covering the dam. So Beis Shammai says that he should dig with a spade and cover. And Beis Hillel says he should not shecht unless he has dirt ready from beforehand. We discussed that already. We discussed also what the issue is with digging the dirt and the problem of making a hole. We're talking about loose earth and so on. But then, the line in the Mishnah concluded very strangely. It said, Umodim, everybody agrees, Shim Shachat, that having shechted, Shiyachbor B'dekar V'yichaseh. So you should use the spade and dig up dirt and cover the dam. We talked about not waiting till after Yontov, and why not wait till after Yontov? She'efer kira muchanhu, because the ashes of the oven are ready, meaning they're not muktzah. And this is odd, because the line was talking about dirt. It wasn't talking about ashes. So who invented that? What are you talking about with ashes? And that's what the Gemara wants to know. Well, how did ashes enter into this? So the Gemara asks, on the fourth line on Chesamad Aleph, Efer Kira Man Dachar Shmei, who mentioned ashes from an oven? How did that become part of this conversation? So the Gemara gives us an answer, Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Hachika Omar, this is what we are saying. Ve Efer Kira Muchanu. It was actually two separate statements. Number one statement was, if you shechted, use the spade to get some dirt. And number two was, and by the way, the ashes from an oven are automatically considered to be muhan, ready for use. And that introduces us to a discussion about what exactly is considered muktza versus what exactly is considered muhan, ready for use. And the rule that I'm going to state at the outset is the following. An item, in order for an item not to be muktza, okay, when you have an item which for which the natural purpose is not a Yom Tov or Shabbos purpose, okay, you have a pen, right? Which is a kli shalach to l'isser. It's normally used for a prohibited purpose, so it's not ready for use on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Or if you have an item that has no function whatsoever, there's a rock, right? It has no function, and therefore by default it's muktzah. So in order for it to be considered muhan, ready for use, it doesn't need to be designated for the purpose for which I am going to use it. It only needs two things. Number one, it has to be intended for a permitted use. So you have to have in mind a permitted use before Yom Tov, regardless of whether it's what I end up using it for or not. And number two, it has to be, at the time that I'm going to use it, it has to be physically eligible for that originally intended use. If something happens to make it no longer eligible, then we have a problem. Okay, those are the two requirements. Before Yom Tov, it has to have a use which is permissible, and come whatever time it is now, it has to actually be physically eligible for that use. Obviously, we're going to see some cases where those rules get tested, and that will provide us with some examples. But on a very simple and straightforward level, let's say I have a trying to think of something that has multiple possible uses.
To crack nuts.
Right, but now it needs to have a second permissible use. Give me a second permissible use. Okay, paperweight. No, paperweight, that's good. So let's say you have a hammer, right? The natural use of a hammer is a use that you're not allowed to use it for Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? If I designate it before Yom Tov and say, this is going to be for cracking nuts, okay? Come Yom Tov, I realize my papers are flying all over the place, it's very windy in the room, and I say I'd like to use this hammer as a paperweight. Am I allowed to use the hammer as a paperweight? Well, does it pass the test? I gave you the two rules, by the way, in source base, so you can see them there. So number one, Kavana l'tashrish mutter lefnei yom tov. I had intent for a permitted use before yom tov. Check. Right? I intended it to be used to crack nuts. Two. Does it have efsharut lehishtamesh bo l'tashmish asher lahit kavnu? Or lahit kavnu, perhaps I should have written. Is there a possibility of using it for the originally intended purpose? The answer is yes. Right? Me using it as a paperweight does not mean that I can't use it to smash nuts. There's nothing wrong with it as a nutcracker. So therefore, the hammer could be used also as a paperweight. You follow?
Yeah.
That's the idea. Unless you're going to argue that, well, while it's used as a paperweight, you can't use it to smash nuts or something along those lines. But we get this idea from the Rambam. If you take a look at the Rambam I brought you in Source Aleph, he talks about the case of broken kalim. Kalim shenishbru b'yom tov. You know, pick your favorite kli. It doesn't make a difference. A cup. Broke b'yom tov. It broke on yom tov itself. So, ein masikin bahen. You are not allowed to use them then as kindling for a fire. Mipnei shehein nolad. Because something new has been created. Right? It's no longer a cup. Right? And obviously, he's talking about something that would be used for kindling. So, let's say it's a piece of wood. You had a piece of wood that, I don't know, you had a wooden hammer. The wooden hammer broke on Yom Tov. It doesn't become kindling because it's no longer usable for its original function. Now it's something new. Aval, masikin bekelim shleimim. However, I would be allowed to use a whole kli. If I had a whole hammer, I would be able to use that hammer as kindling. Because up until the moment that I turn it into kindling, well, the problem with kindling, we'll see, but right now I'm assuming I'd be allowed to. Because up until the moment that I put it in the fire, it's usable for its original function. O bekelim shnishbru me'erev yom tov. Or alternatively, I would be allowed to use a kli that broke before yom tov ever started. So if I had a hammer that broke on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, well, we're talking kindling, so yom tov. So if yom tov starts on a Thursday, then if it broke on Wednesday afternoon, I could use it as firewood on Thursday. Why? Sherei huchnu l'mlacha acheres mibo erev. Because it was already kindling before Yom Tov ever started. You follow?
What's the finish of that one? If you've already thought that you're using for kindling erev Yom Tov, then what's the finish?
I think only that the fact that that we are actually viewing it as being, so to speak, designated for kindling when it's broken.
But you're using it for another melacha, though.
Well, in his case, he's not. He's actually using it for this.
Rambam's also saying for another melacha.
No, when he says melacha acheres, he means other than its original use.
Yeah, but it's
melacha acheres is kindling.
But its original use was irrelevant, erev yom tov, because it was already broken.
Exactly, and that's what his point is.
But, like I said, that's no chiddush.
Right. No, understood. But I think it's just an illustration of the same point in a slightly different circumstance.
But the chiddush is that something that is not a kli anymore is called malach.
Well, that's also true. That's not. I mean, that's not
only.
That's not news here. That's a general principle that we see elsewhere too. But I think he's simply giving you another example of it. In other words, the first example of it is you had a kli that has a malacha that it's used for normally, and you're allowed to use it for the fire too. And then his second point, which is really just an illustration of the same principle, is the kli that was no longer a kli before Yom Tov ever started can be used for kindling, because it was kindling before Yom Tov began. It's being used for the only purpose it had anyway when Yom Tov started. That's the idea. That's the statement of the Rambam. So the application of this to our case is the following. Ashes. Ashes that we're talking about were originally wood. Right? Now I want to use them to cover the dam. So what we're saying is the ash need not be designated before Yom Tov for Kisui Hadam. Right? It only needed to be designated for some use before Yom Tov and remain eligible for that purpose, you know, up until this time. So the ash, as we're going to see in the Gemara momentarily, assuming it was already burning before Yom Tov, right? The fire had been started before Yom Tov. So it was already ash, even if the fire, you know, the wood was in transformation, so to speak, but the wood was becoming ash when Yom Tov started. Therefore, we don't consider this nolad. We consider it to be ash from the moment Yom Tov started, and And number two, what do you use ash for? They used to use ash like barbecue coals. They would put something in it, and then it would either stay warm or cook or whatever it was. It has that same function now when we're using it for up until the time that we use it for Kisui Hadam. So as long as the fire started before Yom Tov, we're good. But what if the fire didn't start before Yom Tov? It was wood before Yom Tov started, and no fire had begun. Now on Yom Tov, I took this piece of wood, I added it to an existing fire, and it burns. Am I now allowed to use it for Kisui Hadam?
Should not be.
Right.
It's a peak ratio.
I didn't answer it. Say?
I mean, we're saying it's based on Machshava before Yom Tov. So if he's putting this wood aside before Yom Tov to be burned, it's a peak ratio, or I'm not sure if that's a phrase to use, but he knows it's going to turn into ash, and he knows he wants to use the ash.
But it wasn't burning yet, though.
I understand, but by saying that he can't use the ash is almost saying that he can't burn the wood, because it's a natural byproduct.
Well, he's allowed to burn to do that because the wood was designated for kindling.
Is that the designation? In other words,
no. Because okay. It's brand new. Now it's NOLED. In the same way that if I have a glass, right, and I plan to smash it on Yom Tov, that doesn't allow me then, once I've smashed it, to use the pieces for something. Why would I? I don't know. But the...
But the use was permitted before Yom Tov.
Correct. The use was permitted.
So what difference does that
make? Because now it has become something new.
It's become nolad through the conversion from wood to ash.
Correct. Which was what the Rambam had initially said. Right? Kim Shnish Buyamtov Ain Masikin Bahmabesh Nolad. Although there that's because of the breaking.
Yeah.
That's because of the breaking.
So the conversion makes it a nolad.
Correct.
So what does that mean, Eloim Kim Hukham Sharoya this base? What does that mean? That
we didn't get there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what we're about to read now.
Okay.
So the finish is no one then.
Correct. So let's see what the Gemara does with this. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says, quoting Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Shehusak Me Erev Yom Tov. He says, they didn't say that you're allowed to use the ash, that the ash is considered to be muchan, to use for covering the dam, unless it was already lit from before Yom Tov began. Because, as we've said, then it's ash already from before Yom Tov. Aval husak bi Yom Tov. However, if it was only on Yom Tov that it was actually lit on fire, then also, then you will not be allowed to use it for Kisui Hadam. The imra'oi litzlos bo beitza mutter. But then we get to what Alan saw before. If it is still suitable for roasting an egg, then mutter, even though it wasn't lit, even though the fire had not started before Yom Tov. What the Gemara is telling me here is something new. With this last point, if it's still hot enough that it could be used to roast an egg, you're allowed to use it for Kisui Hadam. Now the question is why? So what do you think? Again, this is wood that was not burning before Yom Tov started. Yom Tov started at 7 o'clock. At 7:30, I added it to a fire. It turned into ash. As long as the ash is hot enough to roast an egg in, I can use it for Kisui Hadam.
It's not nolad yet.
Why not?
Well, it's only nolad when it's, you know, it's no longer hot. Because when it's still hot, it's still essentially wood that's been burned.
Ashes. The same way you're allowed to use it to cook an egg, you should be able to use it for something else. It's not mutzah.
Why would you be allowed to use it to cook an egg?
Yeah, that's the question too. Why wouldn't you?
Why would you?
Because you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov.
So what? It's mutzah. You're cooking with
staff. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vimroi Litzlos Bo, it's the fourth thin line. Vimroi Litzlos Bo Beitza, if it is suitable for roasting an egg, meaning Sheyesh Adayin Remetz Chan, there's still hot ember within it. Mutter, Dime esmol, because yesterday, ba'odam eitzim, when it was still wood, hayu muchanim lahaseg ulavashel vilitzlos. What Rashi does here is not something I would have done intuitively. What Rashi says is that the idea of lighting something on fire is not limited to the narrow action of lighting it on fire. If your goal is, I want to put these in the fire in order to cook, it's considered one long activity. Lighting it on fire in order to be able to use it for cooking is the definition of the activity that I had intended before Yom Tov.
Even though it's no longer the same object.
Correct.
Why is it different than the hammer?
Why did he
you had a use to use it to cook. So you got around the muksa. So you're just using it for something else?
Because what he's doing is he is now... Well, no, it's no longer the original item. It's like a hammer that broke.
It is still the original item because it's still in the same shape that you were using it for before. That was
permitted. It's burned into ash.
No, but if it's just pure ash, you can't use it here. It has to still be hot enough to cook with.
That's still ash.
Yeah.
It's hot ash, but it's ash.
It's the same purpose you were using it for before, cooking. I mean, it's not...
If you come to my store and you ask for firewood and I give you hot ashes, what are you going to say? I'll try again. The point that Rashi is making is that when this is designated for use as firewood, that includes barbecue coals.
But is that part of the that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov? Is that the reason why?
Well, it's true that you're allowed to, but it's not.
Within that framework, wouldn't it be that framework? That's what Rashi is saying? In other words, because you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to do certain things.
That's true, but why would that apply? Why would that affect this? In other words, let's say I had not intended this for cooking. Let's say I had said, I have a lamp, right? And I add fuel to the lamp, and it's not used for cooking. It's a lamp. Everybody looks at it and recognizes nothing's getting cooked in there. I have an existing flame burning in there, and I want to add fuel.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have matchsticks that I add in there. I don't use them for cooking. This is going in an oven in which I am intending to cook. And what we're saying is that because that's my goal from the beginning, therefore the action for which it is designated is not simply the action of being burned. It is the action of cooking that it is intended for. And so that we can continue and actually, you know, see the whole Rashi. He says, yesterday they were designated for ignition and cooking. Ve'odenu b'tashmishozeh, and it still serves that purpose because the ash is still hot. Ve'aydi dechazi lahafuche be'midi litzlias beitza, and since it is suitable for stirring up these ashes in order to roast an egg in it, shakil le'nami umanach le'al hadam, you're also allowed to take it and put it on the dam.
Okay, so what I said at the very beginning, this is based on the Machshava before Yontif, saying that this will be an outcome. So there is no nola if you have the Machshava at the start. I'm not sure why the Sli for the Beitza, because you said at the onset that they also use it just to keep things warm. As if the onset of the whole process is you're burning it, where you know exactly what the stages are, and that you're going to use it either for additional cooking or even just to keep something warm, it means you had in mind that the aphir is coming, which is basically what she's saying.
There is also no intervening action. In other words, everything here is a natural flow of things. The wood starts at point A. The moment I put the wood in the fire, all of this is going to naturally follow without any intervention on my behalf.
Isn't hasaka an action?
That hasaka is my initial action of putting it in. That's lighting it on fire.
Is that also with the coals that you're doing hasaka?
No. Hasaka is the initial kindling. That's what we're talking about.
That's on a pasuk like this.
So it appears. Yeah. We're not quite done. Maybe we have more to see. But yeah. So what the Gemara is telling me, as Rashi understands it, is that kindling is designated for cooking, and therefore it is still eligible for the cooking role, and therefore I can use it for other things like kisui hadam. That's the idea. We're going back to the same two principles that we said, two conditions that we set out at the beginning. It has to be intended for a mutter purpose, check. And there has to be a possibility still of using it for that purpose. And because it's hot, it still could be. Once it cools off, you're stuck. Right? Once it cools off, it's no longer usable for cooking anymore. And therefore, its function for which it was designated is gone.
But we have one condition more here.
Yeah.
It's like klish and ishbo. It's not the same klish. It was wood at the beginning and now it's ashes. It's not the same.
It's like a nolud, isn't it?
See, I think it's not nolud as long as you can still cook with it.
It is a nolud.
Yeah, it is. It's a different item.
It's a different item.
If you can still cook with it, it's the same as
take a look,
when you started.
Take a look at Tosfos Amar.
That's what I said, but
take a look at Tosfos Amar. Amar of Yehuda, it's towards the bottom. In the widest lines. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo shanu ela shehusak me'erev Yom Tov. Right? Rav Yehuda said it has to have been lit before Yom Tov. So it doesn't work if it was lit on Yom Tov. It had to have been lit before Yom Tov, unless it is suitable for roasting an egg. So he says, nira dahachi helchasa. He says, that appears to be the law. Dahamaisi la siyata mi braisa, because in fact he's going to support it from a braisa. We didn't see that yet. That's the next line in the Gemara. Will be a braisa supporting this. Ve'od, and further, there's no one who's going to disagree with this idea that if it's not lit before Yom Tov, then it's no good. Why? Da'afilu Rabbi Shimon mode. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree that this would be a problem if it wasn't lit before Yom Tov. Da'haydu husak b'Yom Tov, da'havi nolad gamur. Because when it is lit on Yom Tov, that is indeed nolad. You see the corroborating line. It is nolud. Demeikara eitz and bahashta efer was wood. Now it's ash. Ba'avya kimaya biiva mivla blii demode Rabbi Shimon. It's like the case of rainwater, where we say that rain is considered to be something different when it lands in your pail from what it was when it was in the clouds. Even though you'll say, well, it's water and it was vapor before, nonetheless. So Tosfos then asks a question. He says, "Vim Tomer, you might ask, Va'anu heyachanu misalkin efer akira biyom tov lefos hapashtida, ava gavshen roi litzlos bobeitza." He actually says, we have a problem. Our practice is on Yom Tov, that we have ash in the Yom Tov. Now, pashtida is kugel.
Yeah.
But he says, our practice is that we move the ashes, the coals, in the oven off to the side to be able to bake our kugel on Yom Tov. How do we do that? The ash has already cooled off. It's no longer hot enough to roast an egg. So now it's muktzah, yeah. V'omer haravar, b'enu yitzchak, demuktzah eino asio talta b'yom tov b'shvil ochal nefesh v'simchas yom tov. So his answer is, you're allowed to move muktzah for the sake of ochal nefesh, which is a separate point. But I bring you this Tosfos because he says, absolutely, it's a no-lud thing. The only thing that stops me from having a problem is where my intent from the beginning was to use it as a cooking medium, and that is exactly what it is now. That's what's going to enable me to use this.
So if that's the case, what's the difference whether you lit it before or after Shabbos?
Well, if I lit it before Yom Tov, right, we're not in Shabbos. If it was Shabbos, we'd have other problems.
Yes, yeah.
If I lit it before Yom Tov, then there was no nolud problem. It was ash already before Yom Tov.
Yeah, but what you're saying is we don't have to worry about muktzah if it's for ochal nefesh.
Because if it was ash before Yom Tov began, you mean in terms of ochal nefesh?
Yeah, if you've got a heter.
Because kisei hadam isn't ochal nefesh.
But it doesn't matter.
That can eat anyway.
No, but just in terms of being able to move the.
Right, but.
Just in terms of being able to move.
In general, you're right. If I wanted to be able to move it to do the coal thing,
it wouldn't matter whether it was lit before or after.
That is correct. That's Tosfos' answer to his question. Because he says we're not satisfying those terms.
But you won't be able to use it for cooking. You can just
Yes.
Cooking, yes, but it's.
Not for kisui.
No.
Not for kisui.
No. If it was lit after Yom Tov, you're allowed to remove the ashes in order to use something you're allowed to cook. It's muktzah, you can't
but
use
it. No, if it's like hot enough still that it could be used for cooking, then I'm good with that, because that was what it was designated for.
So it was lit after Yom Tov?
Yes, that's 100% right. It was lit after Yom Tov. As long as it was intended for kindling, I'm good, because intending something for kindling, this is the chiddush, this is the novelty here. Intending it for cooking. Intending it for kindling means intending it for cooking.
So why can't I light it again?
On the nolud. And if it was done after Yom Tov, you have the nolud.
Why can't I light it again?
What Rashi is saying is it's irrelevant.
Because if it's cooking, then even when it becomes the ash,
you can't light the fire.
What's the heat? How do you do it?
Because now it can cook.
I can cook with a. I can cook it anyways. Why can't I use it anyways? To cook.
If it's not hot, nothing's going to get cooked.
No, I can heat it up. I'll use it.
Heat up the ashes?
Yeah.
As long as it's hot, it's not musa. Once it cools down, then it's musa.
How can you reheat ashes to the point where they'll be hot enough to cook? They'll burn. They'll burn. What would you do?
Sorry?
What would you do?
Make a barbecue.
Depends whether it's ashes or charcoal.
Something like
right, this sounds like ash.
Right, this sounds like very thin.
I don't know what you would do to heat these back up.
But then the person says at the end that if he's shechted, he's allowed to use the ashes, right?
Yeah.
For kisui or dam, even though they're cool, whatever, something like that, right?
Wait a second, which Tosis? So no, Tosis is not talking about that here. He says you can't use it for kisui or dam.
You can, but he says, avo, shachad, if he did shecht, then he says you're allowed to.
Varayim le kaman perakin sadin, right? Ubi Yerushalmi mefarish tahacha mairi b'shalosh shachat. Right, he says, this is a separate point now. He says the Yerushalmi will say that what we're talking about here is where you haven't shechted yet. Aval shachat, but if you already shechted, then shari afa gav shehusak b'yom tov, then it will be permitted to use the ash to cover the dam, even if it was lit on yom tov. Shalolak or mitzvahs kisui, because we want you to be able to do kisui hadam.
That's like
vastly. Exactly. That's a separate point. 2 weeks ago. So the idea here in the Gemara, and it bears saying it explicitly, is that we're adding a rule, I suppose. We're adding the rule that intent for kindling is intent for cooking. That's a key point. And the Gemara supports this with a brisa. About 10 lines down from the top. Tanya Nami Hachi, or 8-9 lines down. Brisa says like this, Kisha Amru Efer Kira Muchanu, when they said that the ash in an oven is considered Muchan, Lo Amru Ela Shehusak Me'erev Yom Tov. They said that only if it was already lit before Yom Tov, Aval Husak Bi Yom Tov, but if it was only lit on Yom Tov, Asur, then you will not be able to use it, it will not be considered Muchan, unless Vimroy Litzlos Bobesa, if it's suitable to roast an egg in, then Mutter. It's the exact same thing as Rabbi Yehuda said, quoting Rav, except that it's a brisa, so that gives us a better pedigree for the line. So, in terms of the question of what circumstances qualify to make materials muhan for kisui hadam, our first statement is, oven ash is usable if the fire started before Yom Tov, or if it's still hot enough to be used to roast an egg. The Gemara, though, now has to add or does add a separate piece to this. The Hichnis Afar Leginaso Ulechorvaso. If a person brought in dirt, and this is meaning brought into his house, he brought in dirt for his garden or for his ruin, and the idea here is not for the garden like for gardening. That's not what we're talking about, because you can't do that on Yom Tov. But rather, such that if there's anything out there that he wants to cover up, he's just going to sprinkle some dirt on it. Something that he would be allowed to do, it sounds like, on Yom Tov. So he brought a bunch of dirt into the house. He brought in a box of dirt, and he said, this dirt is going to be for me to use to cover things up on Yom Tov. If there are unpleasant things around, I'll be able to cover it with the dirt. In that case, mutar l'chasos bo. You are allowed to cover the dam with it, too. Now, you look at me and say, well, what's the chiddush? Right? You brought it in to cover things, now you're covering things. Why is this? Why are you taking my time for this? So Rashi explains what the issue is. If you take a look at Rashi, Hichnis Afar, he gives you the case. Hichnis Afar harbe b'makom echad, he brought in a bunch of dirt in one place, meaning it's not necessarily in a box, but he gathered together a bunch of dirt before Yom Tov. Litzarech ginaso o litzarech churvaso, for the sake of use in his garden or for the sake of his ruin, lishotchan bahen, to lay it out on the ground. Mutar l'chasos bo, he can cover with it, the cholzman shoot savur, as long as it is piled together, daite ila ve'lachot sarchav, his intent is to use it for any of his needs.
And then he continues to say, Machnas Adam Alo Kupaso Afar Bistam. He can bring in his box. This is really Rabbi Yehuda talking on the next line, but it's okay, for it'll work for our line also. He can bring in his box without specifying what he's going to do with the dirt. He could put it into a particular place and then use it for whatever his needs are. Here's the key. V'lo amrinan bat la la legabe karka habayis aidi dizutra. We don't say that since the dirt is small, when you lay it out on the floor of your house, it's now considered part of the floor. My thought might have been that it's not considered muchan. The moment you put dirt down on a dirt floor, it's part of the floor. That would have been my concern.
I thought you said he brought it in the box.
Right. So the answer has to be that it first of all, the first line was not in a box. Hichnis afar just means he gathered together a bunch of dirt. The next line, which we haven't seen yet in the Gemara, is Rabbi Yehuda. He's going to be the one with the box. But the answer still is that apparently he dumped out the box. He brought it in the box, dumped it out on the floor. And the novelty is that it doesn't become part of the floor in the eyes of halacha. It's still considered to be muchan for covering things. Here, let's read Rabbi Yehuda himself.
Can I disturb for a sec?
Let's just read Rabbi Yehuda first, and then disturb. The Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Machnis adam malo kupaso afar va'oseba kol tzarcho. He brings in his box full of dirt, and then he uses it for any purpose. That's the idea. Now, we have one more line in the Gemara, but let's hear let Howie disturb first.
I'm still having difficulty with the lighting of the wood and the hayfair. Okay, if you lit it before, and we now have this concept of rushing, the concept is you're doing it for cooking, for kindling.
Right.
Okay, so then even that lit wood prior to Yontif, once it's cold, that hayfair should still be muksa again. In other words, you're playing it two ways. Either you're saying that it's a cooking issue, and therefore, even if it's lit before Yontif, it's a cooking issue. And when it cools down, it's muksa. Or you're saying it's a nola issue, which is why the benefit of lighting it before Yontif, but then you have that problem if you lit it on Yontif itself. But you're somehow doing it two ways on the same item.
I don't understand.
Okay. Where I'm getting lost on this is, let's say you lit it beforehand.
Okay.
Okay. Now, your concept is kindling, your concept is cooking.
If I lit it beforehand, nola is not in discussion.
Why?
Because it was ash before Yontif started.
But it was part of a kindling process. Okay. I'm applying the same logic we applied when you lit it on Yontif itself to the lighting before Yontif.
Right.
What's going through the person's mind is a kindling process, not the ash. It's a cooking process. So the acre that's there is a byproduct for cooking. And it's not...
Right. But that goes back to the rule that we said before, that if it was intended for a permitted purpose... and it's usable for that permitted purpose, then I can use it now for any other permitted purpose
as well.
Well,
once it's cold, it's not usable for that permitted purpose. In other words, if the whole concept is cooking, once it's cold, it can't be used for... It violates your rule. Because it can't be used for that purpose.
If I lit it before Yom Tov, so it had a function, which was cooking... and it is usable for that purpose only until it cools off.
Right.
And yet we're saying that because you lit it before Yom Tov,
you can use it.
You'll be allowed to use it.
See, I understood the first time because of the no lit issue and it existed, you could use it. But now you've added another twist on lighting it on Yom Tov, and if you apply that same logic both ways... it doesn't work, at least in my mind.
So, in other words, how have we saved ourselves the problem by lighting it before Yom Tov?
If it gets cold.
If it gets right. Why is lighting it before Yom Tov?
But there's nothing inherently wrong with using it again, though.
No, but the fundamental question he's asking is, why does lighting it before Yom Tov... I'll make it okay when it cools off.
Is the condition that you have to be able to use it on Yom Tov, or you have to use it? In theory, you could use it on Yom Tov. Because if it's only in theory, then you could use it in something else. is the condition that you have to actually be able to use it, or in theory, because when you start an Erev Yontif...
No, it has to be usable for that purpose.
Only then you can use it for another purpose.
Correct.
Then it's a good question.
Right. I mean, lighting it before Yontif doesn't help me, because it's true that it's no longer a Nola problem. We've gotten rid of Nola.
Right.
But fundamentally, I have a useless item.
It cooled off.
And you're saying it's okay.
You can use a scarf to
you can use it to cover up something you don't like the sand and stuff like that.
But you can use it for
something else.
Once it's Nola, you can use it for Kisui.
You use it for a permitted purpose.
That's a permitted purpose.
You can use it for stuff. You can use it to cover stuff. You can use it to cover it for something. It still can be used.
If the log was already put on the fire, then there was no lead before you.
There's no Nola.
The problem is that I did say, as one of my two rules, that it has to be physically eligible for the originally intended use.
Right.
And it's clear that the originally intended use was cooking.
Cooking.
That's the problem. And if you're going to get around your problem by saying, well, everybody knew that it was going to cool off, then you're going to jump the other way. Right.
And the original use was kisui.
It wasn't. The byproduct of the...
The original use was cooking.
No, but I can have more than one original use. I can use the hammer... as for Nutcracker, to keep a window open.
No, when you intend something for kindling, it's kindling. We're going to see that soon.
What if going into Yontif, I planned on using it for Kisui?
Is Tyson saying the same thing? That's why Tyson's saying it.
If I intend it for Kisui, I'm fine. But I don't think that's the case here.
Is Tyson saying... different in Rashi, is working more in a Nola type of thing and trying to...
He's just roping in Rabbi Shimon. He's solving for Rabbi Shimon. That's why he brings in Nola.
Because he believes Nola is Asa.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe Mux is a problem, so maybe none of this...
They say about the Kugel, right? That you allow to chain royal slice of Beza, you allow to move it around, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying it's not Muktza.
No, he's saying it is Muktza / Nolad, but Muktza is overridden for the sake of Ohel Nefesh. I want to think about Howie's question. I don't know. I want to think that through. But if you take a look at Marzutra, Darash Marzutra Mishmei de Marzutra.
I have the answer. It says here.
Yeah.
If the wood was converted to ash before Yom Tov, that's our case. We assume that prior to Yontif, the owner had in mind, and that's what you said, to use the ash for whatever purpose he may require.
Who's he quoting?
Rabbi Arshkol. No, but it makes sense. That's what you said.
Must be Rabbi.
I mean, it's a utilitarian answer.
Therefore, the ashes are not Mukhtse.
But I mean, you know what? It's Rashi. When Rashi says Shehusuk me erev yom tov, right, the top of the thin lines in Rashi, for those using Steinsaltz, Shehusuk me erev yom tov. Yeah. Rashi says me esmol daite ilave lechol mili. It's intended for every purpose automatically. Okay.
And on Yom Tov is only
for a specific purpose. On Yom Tov, then I would assume it's specifically the cooking, because that's the only thing I'm allowed to do this for. Well, is that true? It's not true.
It's not true.
But let's hold off on that question, because we have one more line that we have to see here in order to get to a greater understanding of this. Darash Marzutra Mishmei de Marzutra Rabba. Marzutra taught in the name of the great Marzutra, which, by the way, is a pun. Right? Zutra means small. So, Marzutra Rabba is a pun, but Vahu Sheyichel Lo Karen Zavis. He says that it's only if the dirt case. The only time you're allowed to use the dirt for this purpose is if it has a designated site. Rashi explains that without the designated site, he says, here, if you see, v'hushayichela, v'lo shtacha, he didn't actually lay it out across the ground. He piled it up in a particular area before Yantif. Demuchacha milsa, then it is demonstrated, delitzrachav kabayla, that he intends to use it for his shachim, for his uses, whatever comes up, he wants to cover something with it. And then Rashi continues to say it has to be loose earth, no digging issues, fine. So, we're told that the dirt could be used for kisui hadam. So that leads to a question. I am now using it for a purpose other than the originally intended one. Not in the case of the dirt that's intended for covering things, but in the case of the oven ash. Right? The oven ash, where the fire started on Yom Tov, was intended for kindling. How is it that I'm allowed to use it for kisui hadam, which is a different function?
I thought as long as you can still use it for the original use, you can use it for any other use.
Yeah, except take a look at, did I bring it on the sheet? It's a Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel. You know what, I brought it on the sheet. Take a look at Source Gimel first. Source Gimel, line out of Shulchan Aruch. Efer kira shehusak me'erev Yom Tov, ash from an oven that was lit before Yom Tov, mutter l'chazos bo, may be used for kisui hadam. Avalam husak bi Yom Tov, but if it was lit on Yom Tov, aser, elam kenu cham sharoi litzlos bo beitza, unless it's hot enough to roast an egg. What we've been saying in the Gemara. But then look at Source Dalet, it's a Gemara later in the Masechta. Tana Rabbanan, the Brais is going to say, ein somchen es hakedera bibekaas. You are not allowed to use a piece of firewood, bekaas is a piece of kindling. You're not allowed to use that as a doorstop. No using that as a door, not a doorstop, I'm sorry, as a pot supporter. You have a pot that's on top of the stove and it's not sitting right. So you want to take a piece of kindling and use it to support the pot, you're not allowed to do that. V'chein hadelet, or if you have a door, remember their doors came off the hinges, they were used as tables often. So you say, I'm going to use the door to support the pot. You're not allowed to do that either. L'fish lo nidnu etzim el lahasaka, because wood has only one use on Yom Tov, and that is as firewood. But I don't understand. It was originally designated for one mutter purpose. It's still usable for the mutter purpose. Why am I not allowed to use it for a different purpose? This is where you get into trouble. So I'm going to speed up a little bit just in the interests of time, because I don't want this to be a carryover till after Sukkos. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks this question in Source Hay. Rabbi Akiva Eger, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch that we saw in Source Gimel, says, Tamili, I am shocked. We're going to paskin ein somchen es hakedera bebakas, like the Gemara we saw in Source Dalet. You're not allowed to support a pot with a piece of kindling. V'ayin Magen Avram sham. See the Magen Avram on that line in Shulchan Aruch, who's going to say af leman deshari b'muktza. Even according to the view who says that we don't worry about muktza. Mikamakom eitzim havi muktza lachol tashmishim shemichutz lahasaka. Even then, wood is going to have muktzah status for every purpose other than kindling, because it's really only intended for kindling. The in Canaan, if so, Mabakach Deroy Litzlo's bow, Babi Kamoa Eitzim Atzman, who cares that it's suitable for roasting an egg in? We talk about the ash. Babi Kamoa Eitzim Atzman, and it's like the wood itself. Ha Eitzim, how you gankin muktzah lechol davar? Once you tell me that wood that's intended for kindling is only intended for kindling and no other purpose, then ash that's intended for cooking is only intended for cooking and for no other purpose, and therefore, by what right are you using it for kisui hadam? That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's question, to which we're going to offer two answers.
That's not like what Rashi said, right? Rashi said we can use it for everything.
Yeah, but Rashi's going to have to answer for this Gemara and Dachlan and Gimel.
Right, okay.
So, two answers. One from the Rashba, the other from the Sfas Emes. The Rashba I brought you in Source Vav. He's commenting on that Gemara and Daf Lamed Gimel. And the Rashba's answer, in a nutshell, is perhaps, since one may move the ash to the place of the egg that's going to be roasted, you are allowed to move it also to the place where the dam is. If you take a look at the Rashba, the best way is really to see the Rashba's words. He first brings the question, and then in the second half of Source Vav, he gives you his answer. Umi dochak, he says, I'm stuck, okay? I admit it, this is a forced answer. But he says, since I'm forced to say it, yesh li lomar, disha'ani hasam, I could say that it's different over there meaning our case, the ash case, showing mutter v'taltalo, because fundamentally the ash isn't muktza. It's usable for cooking the egg. Therefore, I can move it. I can bring it to where the egg is in order to cook the egg. The kevan shekein, and since it's mobile, so I can also put it down where the blood is, and it'll end up covering the dam. Since it's movable anyway, so I can have, put it over here, and it happens to be on top of the dam. Because if there was an egg sitting there, I could use it there for the egg. In other words, what I'm doing with it isn't taking away from its utility for roasting an egg. You moved it here, you moved it there. Avokan, as opposed to the firewood that I'm using to support the pot, he says, the way that the Rashba reads it, it's not that you're using the door to support the pot, you're using the piece of kindling to support the door. Okay, that's not the way I translated it at first. But he says, here, it's not possible for you to light this firewood when you're using it to support a door. You're not allowed to, you're not going to be able to light it where you're using it to support a pot. Because if you light it, either the door's going to burn, the door's going to collapse. And of course, you'll knock over the pot. So the Rashba's answer is that it depends on whether the use you're making of it will cancel out its original purpose or not. In the case of the ash that's suitable for cooking, using it to cover the dam does not mean you won't be able to cook with it. In the case of the firewood, using it to support the door or to support the pot means you won't be able to use it as firewood. You're taking away from its initial function, its intended function. That's the way that the Rashba says it. Now, what that's... Yeah?
But the ash is never going to be able to be used again.
What do you mean?
Once you've covered it, once you've covered blood with it...
Yeah.
What can you possibly do with it?
Drop your egg is in the shell.
It has to be hot still.
It's still hot, yeah. So I put the egg down in it. It's a little gross.
Yeah.
But it's in a shell, you know.
They were hungry.
That's the Rashba's answer. The Sfas Emes says, in Source Zion, he says, well, if you're going to take the Rashba's approach, you know, you're only going to be able to actually cover the dam in a place where you could, in fact, roast the egg. But he says, I think the answer is simpler. He says, essentially, and you can see it in Sur Zion, but his statement is, the kindling function is an exclusive use. There's a difference between different types of uses for which something is designated. When you designate something for use as kindling, it has no other role. Because once you burn something, it has no other thing it can be used for. That's it. It's done. Right? Kindling becomes ash, becomes nothing. So it has no other use. Whereas ash that you're planning on using to embed items to be cooked may well serve multiple uses, even while it's hot. Hot ash can be used to cover stuff up, and it can be used to cook. So what he's suggesting is the Vikas case, this chunk of wood that they're going to use to stop the door, can't be used for the door. Because when you said, I want this to be used for kindling, you meant only for kindling. Effectively, this is kindling that is not going to be in a fire that's going to be used for cooking. This is kindling that's going to be used for light, apparently. But it's only going to be used for light. What you had in mind was an exclusive use. Whereas, when you intend something to be for cooking, it has a broader array of uses. So what the Sfas Emes is doing here is he is rewriting the conditions that I gave in the beginning in Source Base. In order for something to be considered mukhan, it isn't sufficient that I intended it for a permitted use and it is still physically usable for that purpose. We also require that the use that I intended it for should be non-exclusive. If the use I intended it for is an exclusive use, then it's mukhsa all over again for all other uses. Right? You follow what I'm saying?
There has to be a mukhan.
Right. Hey, for example, I have a beautiful Megillat, Rus, Okay, that we're going to lay in shul on the second day of Shavuos. It's ornate, it's calligraphied, it's beautiful, and it's delicate. So naturally, it has muktzah status because it's muktzah as a result of the fact that you never want to move it because it's fragile, it's dangerous, it's delicate. You don't want to move it around. I say I am intending to bring this to shul on Yom Tov so that I will be able to read from it. Is it now eligible for other uses? Could I decide to use it as a doorstop? Can I use it as a paperweight? So according to the Sfas Emes, the answer is no. Because the use I intended it for was exclusive. I only intended it for that purpose. Even though my other use doesn't take away from that purpose, nonetheless, it's still going to be muktzah. As opposed to when I intend it for a broader function, a non-exclusive function at any rate, then it's usable for other things as well.
Like the
fire for cooking is the case he gives, because ash has multiple functions. That's the idea that the Sfas Emes is getting across. There's more you could say about it, but that's it in a nutshell. This added point that it has to be usable for non-exclusive purposes. There's a whole other discussion that we didn't get into that Tosfos does about the Gemara in Chulin saying you're not allowed to use ash for Kisui Hadam. Here we're talking about using ash for Kisui Hadam. So Tosfos says there are two different kinds of ash. Based on how they know you're not supposed to use ash in the Gemara in Chulin Peches, the Tosfos says what you need to have is ash that can be used as a growing medium. Ash that's not usable as a growing medium is no good for Kisui Hadam. So this has to be ash that's usable for growing something in it. That's a side note.
I'm confused on the non-exclusive. Yep. Let's take our simple case of the hammer.
Yep.
I'm using it for the walnuts.
Yep.
If that was your whole machshava before Yom Tov, is using a hammer for walnuts.
Yeah.
How can we use it then for a paperweight?
To which my answer would be, was that an exclusive intent?
Well, that was the only thought in my head at the time.
So I don't think that... Having it as your only thought, I don't think is what makes it exclusive.
Well, okay.
It's the fact that I say I'm going to use it as firewood to make light. By definition, there's no other function. This is it.
Right, because...
That's exclusive.
Okay, but let's take your amygdala root as an example.
Right.
Okay, why would that be exclusive?
Because in my... Well, there it's a more active exclusivity. Maybe it's not the best example. But there I actively exclude other things. In other words, I say I'm going to bring it to use. I don't intend it for anything else because I'm afraid it's going to get ruined. So I'm not sure that my example is the best example. It's a different type of exclusivity. It's not a natural exclusivity. It's an intended exclusivity.
I'm just trying to see whether Kindlewood is an exception to the rule. In other words, if that's the only thing that has exclusivity because it's burnt.
Right. And the answer is, I would bet not, but I don't have another example offhand. I would bet there's some other case in which the intent that you would have for using something is such that it excludes other uses.
Actually, based on the text, I would say yes. Yeah. Only the wood.
Yeah, why?
I can't remember which text, but he speaks specifically about the...
Well, in the Gemara said, Lefish Nitlun, it's Mel Asak, but still, I don't necessarily think that this is the only possibility, but I don't know of another possibility offhand.
No, but Kindlewood may not be the only example, but I think it's something that once you use it for that purpose, it's gone.
Yes. I mean, that's reasonable to say. You know, I don't know if when you have maybe some element that also, you know, exposed to the air and it changes or something, you know. Okay. Gemar Chasima Tov.